Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good morning, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman, and welcome to the show. This is actually just the third of the shows for Earth Wisdom Circles. So as you may know, that Going Beyond Medicine took a little bit of a hiatus so that I could really focus on people and individuals and companies that are working to really help to begin to stem the tide of global changes that are happening and how that impacts humanity and our other living species. So today my guest is Wendy Burton, who is the CEO and founder of an organization called World Tree, which is helping to begin to sequester some of the carbon challenges that we have and other things. But I want to let that expert herself talk to us about what it is that the World Tree organization is doing and how it began. So welcome to the show, Wendy.
Thank you, Elaine. It is such a pleasure to be on your show today. I'm excited to be here and share with your listeners what World Tree is all about.
Well, please tell us a little bit about yourself and how this began, and then what it is that you're trying to do.
Okay. Well, I guess the best way to start is how it began, or how World Tree got started, was many, many years ago. I actually fell madly in love with a tree. And I would have to say that it's the fastest growing hardwood tree in the world. It captures 11 times more carbon than any other tree. And when I was first introduced to it, I had what Oprah would probably call an aha moment. Mm-hmm. It was just like the light bulb went on, and I knew immediately that this was what I was supposed to do. I have always been profoundly and deeply moved by trees, even as a little child, and just to be introduced to this tree and know all of the amazing attributes that it has, it was like, I have to do this. And so that's how it got started.
Okay, so if you could tell us a little bit about this species, because it's called the Empress Tree. And I did some little research, and there are other species of this genus of tree that are invasive, but this one in particular is non-invasive. Is that correct? And can you tell us about the tree itself?
Yeah, it's interesting. Yes, absolutely. There's actually 23 different kinds of paulownia, which is the botanical name of the tree. And there's only one in that lot of 23 that's actually considered invasive. That's the Paulownia tomentosa.
Okay.
And, but you know what, I also, even though it gets a really bad rap as an invasive tree, I think that it also, everything has a proper place in its ecosystem.
That's right.
The tomentosa is absolutely ideal at bringing back an area of land that's been, say, ravaged by forest fires. It will bring back a forest quicker, faster than any other tree, but unfortunately it does not play nice with others. Mm-hmm. So eventually, as the forest grows back, it actually dies out because it wants to be the only one in the forest.
Okay.
So it does have its place. And so, yes, our Empress tree, and we call it Empress because Paulownia does not spell the way it sounds. And I've discovered inside of the marketing of this tree is that, you know, you can have the best widget gadget in the world, but if you don't have a name that people don't know how to pronounce, they're not going to talk about it.
Yes.
Right. So
you named it the Empress Tree.
So we called it the Empress Splendor.
Okay.
And it's not a genetically modified tree. It is it has so many amazing attributes. Like it's so fun actually to even watch grow. It grows up to, you know, in the right climate and zones, it can grow up to 20 to 25 feet tall in its first year.
That's amazing.
It's actually like having your very own Jack and the Beanstalk. Little children love watching this tree grow, as does the little child in each and every one of us that knows that story. The leaves, you know, as everybody knows, that leaves are the lungs of our planet. This tree has the most amazing set of lungs on it. It captures or draws down carbon from the atmosphere 11 times more than any other tree. It is a hardwood, as all deciduous trees are. So the leaves do fall to the ground annually. And because of the high protein content in the leaves, they go to fodder quite quickly, and they actually help restore depleted farmland. A lot of times farmers don't realize that they've agreed to plant pine on their land, but, you know, in 17 to 25 years when pine can be harvested, what they don't realize is that pine makes their farmland so acidic,
yes,
that they actually can't grow anything else on there again.
That's right. Well, what's amazing is these leaves are about 12 inches wide approximately. They're pretty
big. Oh, I've seen some leaves. Yeah. the biggest leaf that I've seen so far is almost 3 feet across.
Oh, my gosh. So the thing about this particular kind of tree, we call it the Empress Splendor, is that it has an amazing capacity to do what's called carbon drawdown. So what people don't know, can you explain what that means and why that's important now, please, Wendy?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, this tree has a very unique makeup that it's called C4 photosynthesis, and which is one of the reasons why it grows so fast. Only like grasses and maize and stuff like that are the only other plants that have that unique ability. But we as individuals, everything in our life, whether it's our food, our clothing, our homes, our cars, everything puts carbon into the atmosphere. And there's so much carbon in the atmosphere right now that is the direct result of the reason that we're having such drastic climate change issues. And we have to draw down carbon from the atmosphere as fast as we possibly can. And even though there are some amazing, wonderful new ideas out there, one of the best ways to draw down carbon from the atmosphere is to plant trees.
That's right.
That's what trees do. What we breathe in, trees breathe out.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so that's why it's important to get these trees planted in the ground as fast as we possibly can, or we are going to be in a world of hurt.
Well, the thing that is so amazing about this tree, and I'm just marveling at the photographs that you have, and their website is www.worldtree.info, not .org or .com. So it's .info, just so that you're aware, listeners. And it will grow and reach its hardwood maturity in just 10 years, which is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So obviously, I actually held a piece of it. It was amazing how hard it was, but it was amazing how light it was. It was almost like balsa wood. It was so light, but it's considered a hardwood, which is very interesting
to
me. And then, and then, as you say that, tell me about the interesting reproductive qualities of the re-sustaining or what's the right word?
Well, that works. That totally works.
It can regenerate, regrow itself, but it doesn't leave its site of origin, right?
That's correct. When you chop down an empress tree, it will actually regenerate from the stump. But what's really great is that it does so up to 7 times. Why is 7 the magical number? I have no idea. But it just seems to be that after the 7th time, it just goes, okay, we did our job. And what's really great for that is that farmers, if you consider, because they're the ones who actually plant these trees, because this is not a reforestation tree. This is a tree that needs to be farmed. This is a crop. And so to be able to, for a farmer to plant a crop that they actually don't have to replant for the next 70 years has some amazing value to it. So the whole idea is that we can move towards a plantation-based timber so that we can stop the destruction of the old growth forest. Like, leave those great big old grandma trees in the forest, leave them alone. We can actually move towards a societal timber for the purposes of our lifestyle.
So then, is this hardwood then, can it be used for furniture making or construction? Or what is this hardwood then able to be used for so that it's sustainable?
Okay. It is perfect. Consider it as an exotic finishing wood.
Okay.
It's perfect for windows and doors and crown molding and Venetians, musical instruments.
Oh.
Fender did a line of Telecasters and Stratocasters. Because the wood itself is 40% lighter than other hardwoods, but yet it's 30% stronger than pine. Now, it can be used in construction-grade lumber, but if you were building a house, Elaine, you would not use oak studs in your walls.
No, absolutely not. You use pine.
It's the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing. It's as strong or stronger than pine, but it's too beautiful or too cost prohibitive to want to be able to use it for that. A veneer. It is a beautiful veneer. This tree turns like butter for peeling logs. That's the reason why that we are contracting with farmers all around the world in the right growing zones to be able to grow these great, big, beautiful butt logs that we could actually supply the world with the veneer market as well.
So I see on your website, Wendy, and again, my guest is Wendy Burton, who is the CEO and founder of worldtree.info. And Wendy, it says on here that the Empress tree is what referred to as a quote-unquote wet wood. Can you explain what that means, please?
Yes. When the tree, when you first plant the tree, when it's growing, it actually is an incredibly wet wood. And just by virtue of the way that it grows, it's the sap that it draws up, which is, so it's really wet when it grows. And in fact, you have to harvest the tree in the wintertime when the sap is not flowing. If you actually try to cut down a tree like in the summertime, you will rust out your chainsaw. It is like cutting through a garden hose.
Mm.
It's like water everywhere. But one of the unique things about it is the minute you cut it down, it will air dry pretty quickly. And once it air dried, it will never take on moisture again. Now, this is something that your listeners are going to go, yeah, no, that sounds fishy. Because it's just natural for people to know that wood expands and contracts, or another way they say it is it moves.
Right.
If you've ever been in a really high humidity climate and you've had to like jimmy open the drawer because of the wood
swelling.
Has expanded,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, Empress wood, once it's dry, once all that wet has gone out of it, which by the way, because it's an incredibly wet wood, it also has its own built-in insect repellent and fire retardant.
Now,
because insects predominantly prey on a dry timber.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, they don't like the taste of Empress wood. And it also, the fire retardant, because of how wet it is, it doesn't burn easily.
Ah. So that in mind, does that mean that it is fire retardant and or naturally fire resistant and insect resistant after it's dry or only when it's actually physically growing?
Only when it's physically growing.
Okay.
And although having said that, I did have a professor at Arizona State University one time test whether or not termites would like it after it was dried. And after a week of spending time inside of the wood, inside of a beaker with some termites, they didn't touch it. So,
okay.
But I don't have the full research on any of that. That's just a legend that seems to have some truth to it.
Okay. So then, what I'd like to talk to you about, Wendy, is can you tell us about what is this free tree program that you have for farmers, and what is the idea behind it, and how is it helping people? And a second question is, if this is such a wet tree, does it take a lot of water from the earth? I mean, does it take an inordinate amount of water to grow this tree? So does it affect the ecosystems in terms of the water or in the aquifers, or is that not an issue?
No, that's actually, it's not an issue at all.
Okay.
The tree doesn't like wet feet.
Okay,
that's really important. So it can't be in standing water.
Okay.
It's in an area that actually has high humidity, it actually takes the moisture that it needs from the atmosphere. It has a strong tri-tap root system that will make its way to the water table. But it's non-invasive. It's not going to go find your swimming pool or any other accesses of water.
Okay.
And the tree itself can survive easily on 52 gallons a year. That's basically a gallon a week. But it will survive. But okay. you want it to be able to thrive.
Right.
So if you are living in a drier climate, you are going to need to irrigate, but only for the first couple of years until the tree itself gets established.
Okay.
Now, the first question with regard to the free tree program.
Yes.
This was actually put in place because over the years, Elaine, I used to just be a tree selling company. I would sell these trees to my farmers, to individuals. And over the... must have been about 5.5, 6 years ago, the farmers were calling me and they were going, Wendy, we are losing our farm. We've had record rainfall. We've had drought. We've had severe weather. And we're losing the farm because we've lost our crops. But the only thing that seems to be doing really, really well are these trees. So we want to know if you'll give us the trees for free.
Mm.
And of course, I had to say no, because that wasn't my business model. And it really hurt my heart quite a bit, because I have to honestly say that I think farmers are the hardest working people in the world. They are the ones who lovingly put food on our table, yet they are the ones who are starving.
Yes.
And I needed to find a way to see if I could give them the trees for free. And that was when our company, we sat down, we had a think tank about how can we change our business model so that everybody wins. And that was when we came up with the EcoTree program, which allows individuals, like, you know, as I was talking earlier before Elaine, we have to draw down carbon from the atmosphere as fast as we possibly can. We've got to start looking after this planet. And so many of us, we will compost and we'll recycle and we'll ride our bikes to work, that sort of thing. But it is not enough. We have to move towards a regenerative lifestyle, not a sustainable one.
Mm-hmm.
Sustainable means that we're going to stay where we're at, but we need to regenerate the soil. We need to draw down carbon. So we created a program where individuals get to say, I'm going to be socially responsible for the negative impact I have on the environment, and I'm going to purchase an acre of trees.
So how many trees is on 1 acre typically?
1 acre is 110 trees.
Okay.
And that's planted on a 20 by 20 foot grid. And 1 acre will actually offset your impact on the environment for the next 50 years.
Just one,
now,
one individual.
Acre.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead, please.
So, and to give you, to do a little bit of the math on that for you, the average North American's carbon footprint is about 22 metric tons a year.
Wow.
1 acre of Empress trees will draw down over 1,000 metric tons a year.
Okay.
So that's why we can say it'll offset your carbon footprint for the rest of your life. If you're an average... 50 years old and you want to live to 100. Okay. So, but 1 acre we then take that 1 acre of trees and we give them to farmers that are all around the world in the right growing zones. And we, right now we have the southeastern United States, we have the northwestern U.S. and in Canada, just on Vancouver Island, the lower mainland, Costa Rica, Guatemala, and moving up into other countries eventually. But so your 1 acre, we disperse those trees over, we like to take the approach of many eggs in many baskets. Mm-hmm. So Elaine, I'm never going to call you and go, I hate to break it to you, we lost your acre. Mm. So that way, then we give the trees to the farmers. The farmers are the ones who plant them, love them, manage them, look after them. And then in 10 years, when we go back and harvest those trees, the farmer, who quite frankly has done all the work, he gets 50% of the revenue from the sale of the lumber. And you and I, World Tree and the investor, we get to, or the eco tree investor, we call them, we split the other 50%.
Okay, so if you're giving away, let's say 110 trees per acre, and these are self-regenerating trees, where do you get the new little growths from? Is it from their seeds? Is it from a root, a tapping root? What is it from?
Actually, yeah, it's directly from the root itself.
Okay.
Now, just so you know, though, after the tree has been harvested that first time, the farmer himself owns the revenue 100% on the remaining six. The remaining six harvests. We, as a company, are only sharing the revenue with the farmer for the first harvest.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
And yes, the tree does regenerate from the stump, and after you cut it down, it will send up about three to four sprouts from the root. And then within about 2 weeks, you just choose which one looks the biggest, the strongest. And we educate the farmer on all of this, the best way to manage that. And then you just knock off the other shoots that you don't want, and so you have a one trunk tree. Otherwise, you'll have a multi-trunk tree that won't produce the kind of lumber that the farmer will want.
Okay, okay. So I see that Oprah has got some of your trees, and is that in Hawaii that she has her trees, or is it elsewhere?
Actually, no. I had an opportunity to be on the Oprah show a few years ago, and I gifted Oprah some trees. Mm. So that was how, and she planted, it was in her California home.
Okay.
Were so, those ones.
So what zones?
I've been told where they got planted.
Okay, great. So what are the zones that, the growing zones in the United
the growing
States?
Growing zones are zones 7 to 11.
Okay.
And a lot of people may not know what that is. So let's just consider it to be Mississippi, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, Florida. The tree does need to have a bit of a chill. It has to have a period where it goes dormant. And so if you're in an area that doesn't have, that doesn't get winter or at least a mild frost, then we just move it up higher, like into the mountainous regions.
Okay.
Where then it does get a bit of a frost up there. So we have this amazing geo-mapping system that that our farmer support team, when a farmer calls in and says, I'd love to be a part of this program, we make sure that his land, her land, is absolutely perfectly suited to success.
Okay. So we only have a little
I do want to say, Elaine,
go ahead,
you had just mentioned Oprah. Mm-hmm. But somebody else who the world knows very well actually has 15 acres of Empress trees.
And
World Tree just harvested those trees this past winter.
And isn't that former President George?
President Jimmy Carter.
President Jimmy Carter. Very good. Well, his family were farmers, so they understand that, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So we only have about a minute left. So again, my guest has been Wendy Burton, the CEO and founder of World Tree. You could go to their website, worldtree.info, to look at some of the information that they have there, which is very rich in information. Please know that this particular species is the non-invasive one, or is non-invasive, so you don't have to be concerned about that. But the interesting thing is what it does do is it helps to sustain farmland, regrow farmland, but most importantly, draw down the carbon. And I just want to say also that the Rainforest Alliance has chosen this particular tree for reforestation and carbon sequestration, which is really important. So where would you like people to get in touch with you, Wendy? What's the best way?
Is actually through our website. Depending on whether you are interested in becoming an investor or if you're interested in being a farmer. If you go to our website, we also, by the way, have a Spanish-speaking website as well on there. Just contact us through the website is the best.
Okay. Well, that's very good. Well, thank you very much, Wendy, for your time. I was really interested in having the conversations. I'm sorry I didn't meet you at Earth's Call, but I did meet your sister and two of your colleagues. So that was really great. And so I really appreciate what you're doing. Perhaps we can have you back and see how the Empress tree is helping in terms of the carbon footprint and what we need to do for that. So I thank you for your time. This is Elaine Grohman for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. Please do all that you can to help to make our world a better place for everyone and everything.